Okay, well, the time is going, and we're going to get a little bit into David's life, although we're going to use it to sort of springboard into some thoughts around gratitude. If you've got your Bibles, go to 1 Chronicles 29. For those who are visiting, just to tell you, we've been looking at David's life for a little while now. We're coming towards the end, actually, just two more after today, looking at his legacy, I guess, in the next couple of services. But today, we're looking at a passage that we looked again at the beginning of May, when we had the gift day. When someone's found 1 Chronicles 29, can you shout out the page number from the church Bibles?
361.
There we go. And for the gift day, to have raised so much money, I think it was 130,000, was it? 115. Okay, we got 15,000 short then of my dream. No, 115,000 in one Sunday. That's why I'm not the treasurer. It was just remarkable. And actually, this was the passage that we talked about on that day. And so I don't want to go back over the passage, but I want to pick out just one thought on gratitude that I wanted to reflect on. So rather than it being a sermon where I tell you stuff and we go looking in the Bible, I want to ask you some questions about gratitude and see if they can sort of seep into our lives. Whenever I think of gratitude, I always think of Rob. And all his Cuban sermons are around gratitude. Have you noticed that? Everything you've ever done in Cuba is on gratitude. It's such an important part of our lives. And Graham's going to come and read on page 361, 1 Chronicles 29 and verses 1 to 20. Thank you. Great, thank you very much. Sorry, it's a very long reading, but it kind of gives the image, and we see that of David as being a seriously wealthy man, living in a beautiful palace, was concerned that the Ark of the Covenant was in a tent. God was never as bothered about that as David was. He wanted to build him a temple. And this is like a treasurer's report that Graham read of all the offerings that came in and the generosity. But what struck me, and it struck me when we talked about it at the beginning of May, and it does now, in verse 11, is in this prayer of praise, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things." There's an amazing sense in which actually we're just giving back to God what's already his. And David, who was the wealthiest in his day, it says that actually all that I have, all these tons of silver and gold and precious stones, all of this is already yours. But this has all come from you. This belongs to you. And that idea of gratitude, now who are we that you should bless us this way, underpins that generosity. And that's what I want to sort of focus on for a few moments today. Now, if you're getting ready for the growth group notes for this week, for tomorrow and Tuesday, you might need to go back to is it the 5th of May, I think it was, the podcast. You might have to trawl around the website for that to prepare it for those. Because I'm not going to touch the growth group notes today. I'm going to leave them for all the questions for you to work out. I want to think especially about gratitude today and how we live with gratitude. Because there's that lovely verse that's from verse 11. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things." I'll put everything in red then, just so you can see it means everything. Even Alan's rubber torch, it means everything. Everything. It means your pension pot. It means your health. It means our future. It means our relationships. It means our mortgages. It means our cars. It means our bank balances. It means our guitars and our music stands and our chairs and your bamboo coffee cup and your iPhone and your latest. It means everything. What does it exclude? Nothing. So I want you for a moment to think, and this is going to involve a little bit of interaction. I want you to think, what is for you a good example of everything? Now, we're not going to share this publicly. We're not going to share it publicly, but you are going to tell the person next to you. So if you don't know them, you might want to nip out to the loo for a minute. Say, "Oh, I'm really sorry, but I just need to pee." But everything. You see, we can use words like everything a lot, but I want you to pick maybe one thing. Maybe it's your pension. Or your house, or your company, or your children. What one thing, that if I lost this, I would be devastated. Think of what that one thing is. We're not going to share it publicly, but you are going to share it with the person sitting next to you. If you're married to the person sitting next to you, this is going to be a very interesting conversation. And we mean, apart from you, darling, that's what I mean, okay? But seriously, let's replace the word. You weren't even thinking that way, were you, some of you? Shame on you. I celebrated my wedding anniversary this week, so it's still fresh in my mind. But seriously, think, what is that? What would you replace the word everything with? To spend like 10 seconds and then speak to the folk next to you. It hasn't got to be one word. It can be a little conversation. You've got 30 seconds to talk to each other for a moment. Okay. There'll be another chance to talk to each other in a moment. But just so you've got something in your mind. So if I were to read the verse again as David's prayer and make this our prayer and say, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory and the majesty. That thing or those things in the heavens and the earth are yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things, including those things. It becomes a bit more real, a bit more personal, and probably a bit more awkward to talk about, because they're things that actually we enjoy or we need in our lives. And so then the whole idea that David comes from a place of gratitude and of willingness, and we read in the story that not only was he willing, but so were his people willing to give and willing to be generous. It underpins what can happen and what did happen in the story when the temple was built, not by David, but by Solomon. And gratitude is not gratitude. I've heard a lot of gratitude this week, and often I say to people, "How are you?" And you get the "mustn't grumble." You know, "mustn't grumble" is not gratitude. It sometimes can be confused in a British culture because "mustn't grumble" almost always follows with a grumble. Have you noticed that? It's not "mustn't grumble" full stop. It's "mustn't grumble, comma, while I take a deep breath and tell you all of my woes." That's not gratitude. That's not what David's talking about, I think, when he's responding to God's... It's more like Irving Berlin's "count your blessings" instead of "counting sheep." That kind of idea, yeah? White Christmas? It's a bit early for Christmas, isn't it? Or the other thing it's not is, there are people worse off than I am. That's not gratitude either. That's a variation on the first one about the grumbling. There are people worse off than I am. I know I've only got one broken leg, but some people have got two broken legs. So let's not confuse it being like a backhanded way to grumble. Nor must we confuse it with a waiting for everything to be perfect. And this is one of the things I think Rob's taught me, that actually being grateful is not waiting for stuff to be all as it should be, but seeing the stuff that's already as we want it and thanking God for it. And this is a good example of this. This photograph I took on my first Cuba trip. You might not remember the story. We took out some ballet pumps. I didn't know what they were until I went either. Little flat shoes. And they were of a certain size. And this, they see the blue flip-flops on the floor. This was in Isabel Rubio, for those who have been there before, near Cortez. And these were her only pair of shoes, a blue flip-flop. She was delighted to be given a pair of ballet pumps as a second pair of shoes. They didn't fit her. And it was a bit of a Cinderella moment. She was squeezing and squeezing and squeezing. And you could see her face thinking, these shoes are not going to fit me. They're not going to be comfortable. And then the light switched on and she said, I wonder if they'll fit my friend. And what you don't see is she takes it off, puts her foot on, runs across the churchyard and gives them to her friend who they fit perfectly. And she's thrilled that her friend's got some new shoes. It was such a special moment of a girl with one pair of shoes giving another pair of shoes to someone that needed them too. Now that for me is gratitude. It's not waiting for everything to be perfect or everything as it should be. Or when this is done, then that'll be okay because there'll be something else. We need to make the most of saying thank you to what we have. I was telling Jilly about this the other day and she said, oh, gratitude is an attitude. And I said, I'm not going to say that. And then I just did just then. But there we go. You know, you've noticed, I'm sure, that we live in a culture that loves to review itself. I bought some A3 paper. I'm living the high life. Printing the new growth group notes is going to be on A3 paper. It's very exciting. I know. So that came, and I got a please review this. And I'm thinking, it's paper. You know, it's, you know, I ordered white paper and it is white. I ordered paper and it is paper. I ordered it to be a certain size and, truth be told, it is that size. But other than that, there's not much more I can say about this paper. We bought some citric acid for making elderflower. Please review it. Well, I'm not going to take it to the chemist and say, can you make sure this actually is indeed citric? It tastes like citric acid. You get these all the time, don't you? You come into your inbox. Please review us. We need your praise. I just don't know if I do this a lot. Never. Once a year. Love us, love us, love us. But actually, that's a great opportunity. When I think of the citric acid, I think I've got the energy to go pick elderflower. And then I've got the time to put it together with citric acid and lemon and water and my little magic ingredient. I can't tell you what it is. And I made 15 litres of elderflower cordial. If you come this afternoon, I'll show you where I keep it.
No, I'll give you some.
But actually, suddenly, what was that? Oh, for goodness sake, another email clogging up my inbox. It was actually, this is a moment for me to say thank you. That I live in a part of the world where you can find elderflower that hasn't got exhaust fumes all over it. And it can make delightful elderflower cordial. Now, that's a tiny thing, but that's trying to adopt an attitude of gratitude. People who are grateful have a greater sense of well-being. If you want to be happier, you need to be more grateful. Now, there's a question in here for me about correlation or causality. Do you understand this? No. Okay, thanks, Mum. So, correlation is that people who tend to be more positive also tend to be grateful. That's the correlation, yeah? Or the causality is that people's gratitude makes them happier. Yeah? So you've got to decide which is which. And the truth is, it doesn't matter. Because as long as you're grateful, you'll find yourself more gratitude, more sense of well-being, and more aware of your surroundings. One of our biggest challenges in our generation is being present, being in the moment. We're so busy worrying about what did happen, viewing it, and looking forward to what's going to happen, planning it. We don't actually have time to live it. You've all tutted at people at special moments with their cameras. Oh, put your camera down and enjoy the moment. You ever thought that? Yeah. Of course, when you're thinking that, you're not enjoying the moment either. You're grumbling. But actually, just living in the moment is a massive challenge to us. And I think what we see in David's life is this, he has everything. He's entitled, he's a king, he's done some crazy things, and we looked at some of those things. But he says, do you know what? Everything, all that I have, all my power, all my authority, all that you've done in my life is because of your goodness, not because of my goodness. It's really, really important. Listen to some research that's been... I can give you the reference if you're that interested. The experience of gratitude and the actions stimulated by it build and strengthen social bonds and friendships. Moreover, encouraging people to focus on the benefits they have received from others leads them to feel loved and cared for by others. Gratitude appears to build friendships and other social bonds. Now, that's just from a sociological point of view. But actually, when we're grateful, we're the kind of people that people want to spend time with. We actually can build social bonds and build community. And for those who work in the cafe or the ministers around the cafe, we hear that every day. People's gratitude. Thank you for building community. They don't say it that way sometimes, but that's what they're talking about. They want to be around folk who are grateful. And they themselves are grateful. Now, you take out that just sociological side and think about it from a faith point of view. Supposing there was a Father God who knows all about you, who knows your beginning and your end, and all the bits in the middle, who, according to Jesus, know how many or how few hairs are on your head, even since you brushed it this morning, for those of you who did. Supposing that Father God loved you completely, that you were part of his care, his flock, you would be free, wouldn't you? Just to be grateful and in awe of the generosity of this God. And even when things go wrong, tough though those things might be, you can take care to know that this Father God is going to protect you and bring you safely back to shore. We should be the most risky people in the world as Christians. And yet so often Christians are the most risk-averse people in the world. Because we have the world as our playground. What good is your life if you're going to lose it without faith? And Jesus says, if you lose it in my name, you've not lost anything, you've inherited everything. Now, there's a couple of questions I want you to get into just for 5 minutes, and then we're going to finish, I promise, because I'm hot, even if you're not. I want you just to think, and we're not going to feed any of this back, so you can be really honest. What are some of the things that might stop us being grateful? Start negative. Name a few things for which you have never thanked God. Now, there's an interesting question. It's okay to be honest. No, really, it is. Okay, we're not going to shame anybody because the list will be long. But when someone said this morning, is it okay to thank God for Skype? Yeah, of course it is. What have you never thanked God for? That'll be an interesting conversation. And how would living gratefully, if I put gratefully, is anyone eating gratefully? Probably. Okay, should be. It's Brexit. How would living gratefully affect you, those around you, and your faith in God? So there's a few questions. You haven't got to get the whole list done. I'm not going to feed it back. But let's just spend 4 or 5 minutes. And if you've had enough of the person sitting next to you, then do get up and move. But let's try and put these things into practice and say, what would living gratefully actually look like in our lives? Not just the big things, thanking God for life, but the little things. When you sip that cold elderflower this afternoon, you'll be thanking God. So there's just 5 minutes, then we'll come back and we'll finish off. Okay, so there's some questions. Okay. Okay, so hopefully you got some idea of what this might look like and how it might impact. You can pick these questions up. I'll put them in catching up, the questions, and you can pick them up in your growth groups. Just to finish with a verse from 1 Thessalonians, which we often come to, be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. That's a prayer of faith, isn't it? Be thankful in all circumstances. It doesn't mean that you need to give thanks for all circumstances. It means in. That's a little word, but a really important word. You haven't got to give thanks for that bad day, other than the bad day may be over, or for that bad relationship. Might be something you can't get out of. You haven't got to give thanks for being passed over at work or for financial hardship. But whatever it is, you can give thanks for the difficulties. Not for the difficulties, but in the difficulties that God will hold you. That's why he gives us his Holy Spirit. It's not to make us feel warm. It's so that we have power for the life he wants to give us and wants us to lead. That's what it's all about. We can't live without that. And it shows that the faith we have in God is bigger than just the stuff that's going well in our lives. That even when things go horribly wrong, to say, actually, I still will believe. I still will hang on. I still will trust you to bring me safely back to shore. And let's just make our response. Maybe some of the ways in which you can respond, some of the things you can put into your life to help us be grateful for what God has given to us. For the tiny ways as well as for the big ways, that we might live grateful lives.